Lord God, please let all that I say come from you, through me, and out to others. Amen. Good morning. Please be seated. What a beautiful day it is today. And you know, time flies. It seems like just last week we celebrated Epiphany when the three kings came and brought what we think Jesus was about 2 years old, gold, incense, and myrrh. In fact, it was more like 4 days ago because Epiphany was actually on Tuesday. And now he's 30 years old, being baptized and beginning his ministry, his public ministry. So I thought what maybe I should do is fill in some of the gaps and backups just a little bit so that we can see kind of what happened in there and why everyone is so excited about what John the Baptist has to say. Because I'll tell you what, in Israel there had not been a prophet for almost 400 years that had created this kind of a buzz. Not since Malachi. And I'll tell you what, I had to go back through and read about Malachi and some of the things that he said. I was curious, who was this prophet? There were some other prophets in there, but none that generated this much excitement. So I had to go back and look at Malachi and see why. And some of the things that he said really kind of struck home, and I saw a thread that comes through to where we see John today. One of the things that he said was this: you would never cheat God, yet you cheat me. And he also talked about how you needed to get right with your brothers and sisters so that your name would be written in the book of remembrance. And I thought, you know what? This is kind of the foundation to what it means to be one body, brothers and sisters in Christ, connected to one another. And that message was reflected in John's words. It was reflected through Isaiah that we are all one. It was kind of our foundation. So this main message that John had was a baptism of repentance and of forgiveness. You know, get right with your brothers and sisters. Get your name in the book. Because guess what? The Messiah is coming. Just before this, if you read the scripture, John had just called them broods of vipers, told them that they needed to bear fruit. And they had a whole lot of questions for him. And what he said to them was, don't count on being able to say, oh, I have Abraham as my ancestor. Because John said, you know, God can raise up ancestors from Abraham out of these stones. And then he added this: John can raise up ancestors of Abraham from the Gentiles. Oh, well, wait a minute. We need to get right. God told us what he wanted us to be. So just do it and don't pretend that you're something that you're not. Isaiah's words were what the people were listening to, and John reflected them in what he was doing. He was baptizing with water. Isaiah said, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior. John had an authentic voice. The people needed to hear about the Messiah at this time. He was genuine. They began asking him questions. What do I do? What do I do? And he said, here's what you do. If you have an extra coat, give it to someone. If someone needs food, feed them. And do not take more of a portion than is due you. Do not cheat each other. And John was really popular with this. This resonated with them. They were comfortable with this message. And as they moved forward, he had this huge following, and the people began to ask, is John the Messiah? Well, he wasn't. We all know that. All of the readings this morning are filled with all kinds of words like thunder and unquenchable fire and the breaking of cedars. But they're also filled with words like peace and redeemed and covenant and beloved. This is good news for us. And what I really think that this means is that this baptism that we are entering into, that it may not be easy, but it is absolutely worth it. Absolutely. God speaks to me in a lot of different ways. I see God everywhere out there in the world in the everyday. And yes, again, most notably, I was trolling Facebook. But you know what? I think of Facebook as a tool, seriously, because I get to connect with people, and this is all about the relationship, being in relationship with one another, that I don't have contact with on a regular basis, people from my past. And the people I am in a regular relationship with, I get to learn a little bit more about them. I get to enter into a relationship with them, sometimes a little deeper relationship. And of course, then it's Facebook, and it's kind of entertaining, and I enjoy it. And you know, you get bits of news, and then there are the cat videos. But what I really enjoy is sometimes there are some questions that get asked that really get you started thinking, and that's what happened. One of my friends posted something, I reposted, and it was a question. So I ask you this question. I mean, this is kind of interesting. If you could be transported right now to the scene of the last book that you were reading, where would you be? I thought that was really fascinating. One of my friends wrote Hogwarts. Okay, we know what he was reading. Another one wrote, I am at a cafe in Paris. And I'm thinking, I don't know what book that is, but it's never bad to be at a cafe in Paris. I, of course, responded, having been working on my sermon, I'm standing on the edge of a river watching some guy dunk his cousin in the water. Because that's where I was in the last book I read. But then, of course, my imagination kind of got away with me, and I thought, what would it have been like to be standing right there on the edge of the river watching this happen? Maybe I myself would have just been baptized. So go there with me. Go there with me and imagine this. What would it have looked like? What would you have been thinking? You're there to see John. There's a buzz. You want to hear what's going on. You're interested. You go there, you see this person baptized, and then all of a sudden, the sky opens up, a dove descends from the sky, and a voice, a thunderous voice, comes and says, you are my beloved, my son, in whom I am well pleased. What would that feel like? What would you be thinking? What kind of an experience would that be? And then I started thinking, what kind of an experience was that for Jesus? We know that Jesus was fully divine, but also human. What was he thinking? If it happened to me, I know what I'd be thinking, and I was advised not to say those kind of words standing up here. So I thought, no, really, what was Jesus thinking? And I came up with, this just got real. Sometimes when we have an epiphany, which is a divine illumination, if we keep it to ourselves, there is no way that anybody has to hold us to it. It's our secret. Excuse me, I was choking. So it was our secret. There's no consequence to it, and nobody is going to, you know, there are no expectations put upon us. I was thinking, what was he thinking? He was thinking, okay, this is real. And that's what happens to us when we have an epiphany, a divine illumination. With a divine illumination, an epiphany like that, I can tell you comes an ontological change. Big metaphysical word. What it means is it's a change beyond what is concrete, what is real in the world that we experience in the everyday. Something that is from God. I've had an epiphany in my life. I've had a couple of them. We can all have an epiphany. I had one where I thought I was supposed to become a priest. And then what happened? I actually said it, and it became real out into the world, and I proclaimed it, and I said it, in fact, to all of you. But what happened next was wonderful, because I found that I was loved and supported in ways that I could not imagine. And I can tell you that I changed in ways that I could not imagine. An epiphany. The other thing about having an epiphany is that you can have more than one, and I had one about 30 years ago. And at that time, a friend of mine taught me a song. She taught me in Hebrew. I'm not going to sing it for you. In fact, I'm going to try not to choke here. But the words go like this. Kola olam hu geser tas ma'od v'ha ika lola fached bo. And what that means is, all of the world is but a narrow bridge, and the most important thing is not to be afraid. So what do you do after you have an epiphany? You proclaim it. You own it. You share it. Share the gifts that God has given you with one another. That's what you do after you have an epiphany. And I mean a real divine illumination. Oprah says that we have lots of aha moments. Now, the difference between an aha moment and an epiphany is this. Okay, learning that on a roadmap, all of the routes that go east and west are even numbered, and all the ones that go north and south are odd numbers. Now, that's an aha moment. That is not an epiphany. An epiphany, an ontological change, those are divine, and those come from God. And that's what we experience in baptism. So you have to trust that you are loved and supported, that we really are all one, that we are all baptized in one Christ. Last week, it was interesting because we said goodbye to Sophia, to our music minister, and Denise had us do something that I found really interesting. We all kind of gathered, marched over to one side, and we put our arms and our hands on each other, shoulder to shoulder, and we gave an outward sign of how we are connected to one another to send her off, because we are indeed united to one another. That was an interesting outward sign about how we are all connected, because we are all baptized in Christ. One of the questions in doing some research for this came up, and it was, did Jesus really need to be baptized? After all, he was divine. And the answer I came up with was yes, because he modeled that behavior for us. It was really, really important for him to do that, because we are baptized by him, we are baptized with him, we are baptized in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. We become vessels for the Holy Spirit. That's what this is. A little earlier today at 9 o'clock, we had a baptism. Little Matthew was baptized at 9 o'clock. We're not going to do the baptismal covenant this morning with you, but I do want you to go read it, because there's something in there that is for you. I want you to read through the words, and when you say them, mean it. We are here, and we need to love and support one another, because we are all one, all united in one baptism, all baptized in Christ, all vessels for the Holy Spirit. So what do you do after you have an epiphany? Allow yourself to be filled. Trust, don't be afraid. Because you are a beloved and supported child of God. And with you, God is well pleased. Amen.